Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ooh, wait, wait. No, no, no.
Listen.
Listen.
wait.
I hate you for that.
Let me fix it.
Welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast that says, sure, you failed it, but let's lie and say you nailed it. I'm DeLon Grant. I'm an actor, a singer, a writer, and a photographer.
And I'm Francesca Ramsey. I'm an actress, a producer, a writer, and former graphic designer. And this week, we are joined by a very funny, very talented, and very hardworking guest. She's an Emmy-nominated host, an actress, a comedian, an improviser, an author, the host of 81,000 podcast, and she is very fat and very brave. It's Miss Nicole Byers.
Yay! What a lovely intro. Thank you.
Oh my God. No, thank you for being here. So like Fran was saying in your intro, you host so many podcasts. Girl, I host one and I am exhausted. You have Best Friends with Sashir Zameda. You have 90 Day Bay with Marcy Giroux. You have Newcomers with Lauren Lapkus, and you have obviously Why Won't You Date Me, which Fran was recently on. Mm-hmm. How you do it, girl?
How do you do it?
How do I do it? You know, I like to work. I like to stay busy. Luckily, two of them are watching podcasts. I have to watch something. So there's, you know, the conversations there. And then I just get to talk to Sashir, and that's nice. And then I love love. So Why Won't You Date Me is a labor of love. Like, I really like doing it. And I like hearing about it. I'm a hopeless romantic waiting for my Prince Charming or whoever.
Yes, put it into the universe.
Or whomever, right. What surprised you about the podcast industry, though, now that you have like several of them?
What surprised me? I guess that people listen to them. I don't listen.
You don't listen to your podcast?
You don't? I don't listen to podcasts. I can't really listen to like disembodied voices. It makes me nauseous. I don't know what that is about me.
Whoa.
But yeah, if I can't see someone talking and they're just like out of a room, but I can't see them, I have to like go join them or close the door.
Wow. Meanwhile, like I listen to podcasts in the car and I'll be like, oh my God, don't go in there. Like while I'm driving, because I'm listening to like murder shows.
Can't do it.
Yeah, and I want noise. I want noise in the house because I live alone. So I'm, you know, very single, hopeless romantic myself as well, sis. I want to, you know, news or something on music because I feel it makes me feel like somebody's gonna come get me.
I listen to music.
Silence.
The beat. Yeah. I can do beats.
you sound old.
Beats. The beat. Oh, the beats. When the beat drops, Lord, I feel it in my bones.
Well, that voice that you just pulled out is a perfect segue to our next question. You are currently starring in a new movie called The American Society of Magical Negroes, which is a satirical look at the all too popular magical Negro trope. And class, if you're unfamiliar, the magical Negro is the black person in a movie or a TV show who bravely steps forward to help the white protagonist with a pure heart and folksy wisdom, probably some magic. Here's the thing, Nicole, and I don't know if anyone else has said this to you yet, but I feel like this movie is a very full circle moment for you because one of your first big viral videos was a UCB sketch called Be Blacker.
Hey, Nicole, I need you to be blacker. Do you understand what I mean when I say blacker?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Do you know how to be sassy? Yes, let me see. Yeah, sassy. That's great. Sassy. I want you to take that. Go right into it. I love that. Sass it up.
Sassy.
Still rolling. Go ahead.
LaShawanda, did you get those clams I asked for?
Ooh, child. I got them clams. I got everything on that list you gave me.
And so, like, it's kind of cool. Like, you have these two awesome bookends where you are calling out Hollywood for how they see Black people. Why do you think, despite all the advancements that we've made, that Hollywood still loves these stupid tropes?
I think people like things that work. They know they work. It's the reason why we're getting so many reboots, but people tend to forget that reboots were once original. Ooh, and also, I think when people look like you, they understand your experience. And when you get rid of inclusion programs and everyone who's making decisions look like, you know, I'm not demonizing straight white men, but when they get together, they talk about things that relate to them. And suddenly a Black experience is unrelatable because they don't have Black people in their lives, maybe. Or if they're like, I have one Black friend, that one Black friend they don't know much about. And to them,
or they're not really friends. Yes. Let's be real. Y'all be calling people friends. And the girl in your office is like, I don't fuck with him at all.
But like that, if that's your life, that's what you tend to want to see more of. I do think trickle down economy works in the industry, not in real life.
Ooh, right. Capitalism works for some, right? I do feel like there's like just been an evolution of like Black trauma as entertainment no longer being the thing. Now we're talking about like white terrorism as entertainment, right? And I think like it kind of flips the magical Negro, that trope, on its head, which I appreciate. Why is Negro gotta be so nice? Why is it gotta be so magical, right? White people. Do you feel like in the comedy spaces you occupy that's been shifting? Have you felt that at all?
I'm pretty lucky because I came up in other rooms. Like, I came up in alt rooms. And I did improv, which is, you know, white coded. It's a lot of, you know, white people whose parents are like, yes, I'll give money for nothing. Not that improv is nothing, but literally we're like object work. I'm holding a cup. No, you're not. But I'm lucky that people have listened to me throughout my career. And yes, I have felt othered. I don't want to say that, but I do feel very lucky that I didn't come up just doing open mics with like, sometimes you go to an open mic and you're like, uh-oh, you don't have a single friend who said that wasn't funny. Or you're surrounded by a lot of people who look like you who think that's funny. So I'm lucky I didn't come up that way.
Right.
Yeah, you got like an objective response to your humor to kind of figure out what was working for you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I love about your comedy is your crowd work, man. I stumble upon your videos all the time.
You have a new crowd work special too.
It's so good, Nicole.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And that's like got to be based on your improv work, right?
Yes. Because some people who do crowd work tend, like, you can, you know, reuse a joke because it's live and who knows. But I try not to, and I try to come up with like new or just like be in the moment. Also, I'm so lucky. My crowds, they be rowdy. They be ready to talk. They be ready to talk. And earlier, I was like, I don't want to talk to you. I want to perform for an hour. And now I look at it as, well, we're all here together. It's live. Mm. If you would like to talk to me and that's what you want the show to be when I do have material, then we can do that. And I've stopped kicking people out of shows because... Well,
now, wait a second.
It's because it's a thing we can come back to. We as a group can hate one person, and that's really powerful. You know what I mean?
So, absolutely. Yes.
If someone misbehaves 15 minutes in, and you know, you read them down and they're finally quiet, then that means 45 minutes in, after everyone's almost forgot about it, you go, remember how we hate Caitlin? And then everyone's like, yeah! And we've all been brought together, and then people will go home and be like, Caitlin sucks.
Listen, that's how Karen was born, right?
It
is so freaking funny. I never even thought about that. I gotta say, Nicole, one of the things I really love about you is that despite the ways that Hollywood tries to box us in as Black women, you've really carved out this unique lane for yourself where you are loosely exactly Nicole.
That's a throwback. It is. And people listening, I would say 2 out of 200 will know what that is.
Yes, but that's fine. That's fine. Not every joke is for everybody.
Okay, you are listen, right. 1,000 true fans. That's what you need.
Yeah, I do stick pretty true to me because I can't be anybody else. And then I don't know when I realized this, but I think it's when I started seeing like Melissa McCarthy type or like Tiffany Haddish type. And I'm like, y'all didn't know you wanted that type until you saw that type. And everyone was like, whoa, standouts. We love that. Da, da, da. So it's like, what service am I doing to myself if I'm going to act like some, no, I'm going to be me until somebody wants me. Cause nobody knows what they want. Like think about Issa Rae. She did, I think it's Misadventures of an Awkward Black Girl.
Yeah.
And then it turned into a fucking hit HBO show that HBO didn't know they wanted until she made it.
Yeah.
Right.
But then, and then like to your point, then there was like 10 black women shows with four friends.
Yes.
Because I was like, I'm looking for another Insecure. And it's like, just look for the next good thing.
Yes. Yes. Francesca. Yes. That's what I mean. Like originals are original and you love it. So instead of trying to recreate something, do something else. Do something else.
I say this all the time too. I'm a, you know, I've a Broadway actor, and a lot of times Broadway will like, right now we're like taking extant IP with movies and just making it a musical, right? There was a jukebox musical period. To that point, it's like everything that is generally a hit is something that was original content, right? Mm-hmm. Back to your accolades, though, like you have multiple Emmy nominations for Nailed It, which I mean, the class already knows about this ridiculously funny, brilliant concept of a show. It's a cooking competition show. But you also got an Emmy nom for your 2022 Netflix special, Big Beautiful Weirdo.
Yeah.
And Nicole, we have something in common because you love a dick joke and so do I.
I love a dick joke.
I love a dick.
I love dick. I think they're delightful, beautiful, just beautiful things. I really do.
Me
love
too.
Them.
But here's what's so funny to me about the, I love that you love dick jokes. We love dick jokes. But you are known as like the family friendly girl because of Nailed It.
Let's see who nails it and who fails it. Let's do this. Let's go.
It's like you have these two diverging sides of yourself, which again are so real and authentic. Like what do you say to creatives who are looking at your career and going, I want to do that. How do I keep from being put in a box where people are saying I can only do this one thing, but I want to do all of the things?
Well, Nailed It didn't like it. I don't think we, or at least I didn't set out for it to be such a hit with kids. We shoot, each episode takes it like about a day, and that's like 12, 13 hours, and it gets edited down to a half hour, and that's a lot of footage. So I would say things I wanted to say, and then someone in my ear would go, can you rephrase that? So you're not talking about how this blue frosting looks like you blew a Smurf. I go, okay, all right. Ooh, my mouth is blue like I'm icy cold at the Antarctic. I don't know. Like, I can't think of a clean version of that. But there was like four iterations of some jokes. And that was in the beginning. And now I say still whatever I want. And then some of it makes it in. And then a lot of it doesn't. But I would say just like it sucks. The advice sucks. Just like be yourself. Do what you think is funny. Don't be worried. If you feel pigeonholed, this sucks. Write something. Do something. Make videos. Like show people that you can do other things. Yeah. Like right now I'm like, should I write something so I can showcase that? Like
I'm kind of amazed that you haven't already.
For real though. I mean, writing's hard,
it's
right?
So Aspirin, hard.
But... yeah. I mean, listen, you have a million jobs.
ADHD.
Right.
We love games here on Let Me Fix It. So in honor of your new movie, The American Society of Magical Negroes, we would like to play Oh, 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 It's Magic. The first question. In 2008, magicians Walter Rolfo and Piera Ustegani broke the world record for most rabbits pulled out of a hat. How many rabbits do you think they were able to make appear from thin air? Was it 25? 300, 76, or 19 and a half?
Oh!
Are you putting together what that other half might have been?
Yes!
I'm not saying that's the answer. I'm not saying that it's not the answer.
No, it was an albino rabbit. Come on.
That's why he doesn't, he only counts as one half of a rabbit.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm just imagining just like a bunch of children cheering and then being terrified. just half a rabbit popping out. Wait, what are the okay, the answers first, again?
Your choices are 25 rabbits, 300 rabbits, 76 rabbits, or 19 and a half.
I'm going to say 76 rabbits.
The correct answer is 300 rabbits.
Well, who's Can sitting there imagine? For that? That's also horrifying for someone to sit right. through. 300?
I have no idea, but they won the world record in 2008. Shout outs to them.
Also, and what did they do with all those rabbits after the fact?
Yeah, they must have been expensive to get. And
maybe they didn't start with 300, but they was fucking in there.
And then they just get smaller and smaller and smaller.
Okay, next question. Who is the best magical Negro of all time and why? A, Morgan Freeman as God in Bruce Almighty. B, Octavia Spencer as Minnie Jackson in The Help, Oscar winner for that part. C, Lawrence Fishburne as Morpheus in The Matrix. I'm mad about this one. Was he really a magical Negro?
He's literally magic in
that
movie.
He's magical and then takes him to an even more powerful magical Negro.
Yes, okay, the Oracle. Accepted.
Oh God, she was the magical Negro too. Okay, yes. Mind blown.
Wait, did you guys see Madame Web?
No, but I heard it was.
But the internet is ablaze.
Listen, I loved it. If you go in thinking this is a satire and a social commentary on how many superhero movies we've had, it's a perfect movie. But if you go in being like, this is an extension of a universe, you'll be disappointed. But at the end, she's in a chair and she looks like the Oracle from The Matrix. And I screamed. I had a great time. I screamed. I laughed. I repeated lines. I had a great time. Go see it. Go see it in theaters.
I love the reframing of it. That's the way to see a bad movie, honestly.
Fun. Please go see it.
It's on my list.
Okay, what are the rest? I'm sorry I interrupted.
We have no, not at all. We have D, professional scamtivist Sean King.
Okay. He's so magical, he's not even black. And he is always reinventing himself for a new scam, which is kind of magical, right?
It is magical. And he blocked me on X, formerly known as Twitter. And I don't know why. Oh, maybe he's unblocked me since, but I was like, what the heck? I didn't do anything. I didn't call you. Oh, what were the names? There were such good names for him.
I feel like he just was mistaking you for another black person, which confirms that he's not black. He thinks you're somebody else.
I'm shocking. And our last one is Michael Clark Duncan as John Coffey in The Green Mile. Ooh. So Morgan Freeman, Octavia Spencer, Lawrence Fishburne, Sean King, Michael Clark Duncan.
I think I'm going to say Morgan Freeman for multiple roles.
Oh yeah. He's definitely played magical Negro in a number of movies, but God in Bruce Almighty, if you're going to be a magical Negro,
the ultimate.
Heard.
And let's also talk about God being black. Jesus was black. So his daddy was black too.
Yes.
You know, I got a second Michael Clark Duncan because like he literally was taking people's cancer away. Yeah. He was sucking the cancer out of folks in that film. Come on. My honorable mention is Bubba from Forrest Gump.
Yeah, he was a good one. I loved Bubba.
Who didn't? Love Bubba. Bubba's so good. I mean, him naming off 1,000 shrimp.
Oh my God.
And Bubba, him having his jaw stuck out the whole movie, you know, just really giving us character actor.
Just giving us a lot of character. Fried shrimp, boiled shrimp, shrimp grits, shrimp gravy, shrimp scampi, shrimp.
Yeah,
who wrote that screenplay?
That's I have no brilliant. Idea, but honestly, that movie could not be made today.
Sure couldn't. Also, there's a sequel to it, and this is loose internet reading. I don't know how true it is, but apparently in the sequel, Forrest is supposed to like survive a bunch of stuff like in the 80s and whatnot. Okay. And I think it went through 9/11, or maybe 9/11 happened, and then they were like, "We can't make this movie."
No, not gonna
that
pass.
Sounds like fan fiction.
Oh yeah, no, but I'm sure. But I'm sure somebody wanted to do it, and thankfully they decided not to. All right, our next question. During the Salem witch trials, there were all sorts of weird things that would get you labeled as a witch. Maybe you had an oddly shaped mole or a scar, or you were seen as too argumentative or antisocial. what weird modern day indulgence would get you, Nicole Byer, branded as a witch in the 17th century? For example, I have full-blown conversations with my dog, Flex. Mm. And I'm pretty sure if somebody saw me talking to him, I would get labeled as a witch.
There's a hair in my mouth.
Witch!
I do talk to my dog. Sometimes my phone rings. I used to keep it not on silent. When it was not on silent, it would ring and Cher would play. And I would sometimes miss a call to hear the whole ringtone. That's, but everyone kind of has a phone. But maybe they'd be like, what is she doing? Is she conjuring?
Wait, what Cher song was it?
Do you believe in love?
I can feel something inside me, sir.
You unlocked a monster. That Fran does it. That's her Cher impression. It is that. Every time.
You put it in your mouth like this. No. Yeah, I think the phone and the Cher impression would absolutely get you labeled as a witch.
For me, it's anal sex.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Oh, so maybe my dick sucking skills, because I'm very good at it.
That's a hard burn.
They'd be like, oh, thank you.
She is definitely channeling the devil with them lips. Yeah.
David, if she be in Salem, they'd be like, go get the lips.
Get her. And they'd be like, don't burn her too hard. We got to keep her around.
For Saturday night. Oh,
wait, so final question. This person is known as the most famous musician of all time. Even Dua Lipa, queen of the frog voice pop, has a song about them. Is it A, Chris Angel? B, Harry Houdini? C, Penn from Penn & Teller? D, Teller of Penn & Teller?
Chris Angel?
No.
Harry Houdini.
Oh, I guess he would be.
The Dua Lipa song, Houdini, here I go. I come and I go. Tell me all the ways you need me. I'm not here for long. Catch me or I go. Something, 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 Houdini.
I don't know it either. I don't know any of Nicole.
I don't know it. But I just love Chris Angel.
Yeah.
He's so cute.
That's why we put him in there. I feel like I knew that would throw you for a loop.
It really did. I saw him once in Vegas and boy, oh boy, was it delightful. Wow. You gotta go.
Now, my question for you is, does the eyeliner do it for you, or does like the leather jewelry or the collar? I feel like he's always wearing, he looks like he came out of a Hot Topic.
Okay, he does look like he came out of an old school Hot Topic, not this current one. I also really love that he is like a rock star, and that's how he presents himself. He's like, I'm a fucking rock star who's going to make shit disappear. And then, like, crowds are kind of boring now. Like you've been to a concert. People don't dance. Yeah. They're, like, looking through their phones. Mm. So, like, there would be times where Chris would be like, and this! And, like, it would be, like, a tepid clap. And he'd be like, are you fucking kidding? And I'd be like, you're right! Let's all get hyped! Like, I just love someone who's like, you're not giving me what I need. This is amazing. You can't fucking do this.
That makes sense. He does seem to take himself very seriously.
Yes, but also casually makes things disappear. There was also at one point where he like appears in the audience, but I saw him rushing to the seat and I was like, who's this woman late for the show? And I was like, oh, it's Chris Angel, because his hair was just flossing behind him. Oh, God. Go see him. He's great. He's so wonderful.
Listen, on the list.
Oh my God. I love that Nicole is giving us like TripAdvisor recommendations. She's like, go see Madam Web. Go see Chris Angel. I'm here for it.
I just want you to laugh.
Word of mouth works.
Move over, Zagat guide.
Goodbye, Zagat.
All right. So Nicole, usually on Let Me Fix It, we devote an entire episode to one topic, usually a musician, a brand, or a movie from the past. And then we pitch how we would fix it. But we also really love reviewing bad apologies. So we thought it would be fun to talk about some recent apologies and see if you could help us fix them.
Okay.
So first up, Madonna is currently on tour with her Celebration tour. And in her Los Angeles stop, she's in the middle of a song and she stops to call out a woman in the audience who is sitting. She points at the woman and she's like, what are you doing sitting over there? Why are you sitting down? She walks over. The lady's in a fucking wheelchair.
What are you doing sitting down over there? What are you doing sitting down? Oh. say. Politically incorrect. Sorry about that. I'm glad you're here.
Now, of course, the video has gone super viral. The fan has said she was like, no, it's fine. I love Madonna. She's amazing. Do you think that Madonna's apology was sufficient? And if not, how would you fix it?
Wait, Madonna's apology was just like, oops, sorry.
Her apology was, oh, yes. Okay, politically incorrect. Sorry about that. I'm glad you're here.
Oh, no. Okay, you don't have to say politically incorrect. I mean, you just go, my bad. I didn't see the wheels, bitch. Well, spin around. What are you doing? Spin around. I want to see you move. And yeah. if the audience member is not able to do that on their own, be like, where are your friends at? Who are your people? Have them spin you around.
Yeah.
I would just make it a moment for that person. I don't know, maybe even pull them up on stage. Not to other them, but like,
yeah,
you kind of, you know, singled them out. So give them the time of their life.
Yeah.
Yes. I love the schadenfreude of this moment. Oh. I love the schadenfreude. Like, we all deserve to be like cut at the knees every now and again and go, ooh, oh shit, my bad. You know?
I'm just mad at Madonna. Like, bitch, if somebody wants to sit down at a concert, they're allowed. I paid for this. I paid for this ticket. And that means if I want to fucking sit, I can sit.
Right.
Here's what I think.
Think she should have given that. No.
Now, you know what? No, let me. Okay. You know what? I'm going to put Nicole out on Front Street because we went to Lady Gaga. And anytime Lady Gaga put that cowboy hat on, Nicole was
you're
like,
right.
I'm
I would sit
out.
Right down.
Mm-hmm. Nicole
yes, you're
said,
right. Well, no what you want me to do? Honky tonk? I didn't come here for that. You want me to boot scoot honky tonk? When she said get up and just dance, I was just dancing. When she said bad romance, I said, bitch, I know it's been terrible. But when she said Joanne, I said, okay. Oh, we're calling HR now to put on our cowboy hats and boot scoot? No. You're right.
So, okay. So you have no room to judge. I think Madonna should have given that lady a meet and greet ticket. Bring her backstage.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, or give her free tickets to another show or something. Like, just, I liked your idea of bringing her up on stage. But to your point, you singled her out.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do something to make it better.
Something.
Sorry is not enough.
Politically incorrect, because then you're like othering this person in a weird fucking way. We all make mistakes. We all make them, you know? Yeah. Just adjust and learn from that moment. I don't know.
I have a question for you based on this Lady Gaga thing. Nicole, where are you with the cowboy Carter then? Are we on board? Are we on the horse or are we not?
I'm on the horse. Carefully. Listen, so the Renaissance concert was mostly the Renaissance album with hits filled in, but she didn't spend too much time on the hits because we were at a fucking ball. She was doing house music. So I think act two is going to be, we're at the hoedown. I know where I'm going and we're going to get a little break from the hoedown for some hits and maybe a little house music. But I came to the hoedown. Listen, Lady Gaga, I was not coming to the hoedown.
For the hoedown.
Fair.
Yes. Okay. Heard.
Yes, exactly.
You gotta let a bitch know. You gotta let a bitch know.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I love that Nicole said when Gaga put that hat on, I knew it was time for me to sit down.
But I was not the only one. People were like, oh, bathroom break. Oh, I go get a hot dog. You know? And that's, you know, Joanne, I don't want to say it was bad. It was not for me. It was for her and other people who liked it. So the people who liked it and she got her feels from it. So I was happy to be there to witness, you know?
So she said, I'm sitting down.
not mad at it. So our next apology is Congressman Jeff Jackson of North Carolina. So he is being dragged all over social media for voting in favor of the very controversial bill that is aimed to ban TikTok. Now, the reason people are so mad at Jeff is because he's a TikTok star. He's one of the most popular politicians on the app with a little over 3 million followers. Now, his claim to fame is being very relatable and honest. His videos are super down to earth with lots of explainers behind the scenes of the government. He's branded himself as a quote unquote good politician. So voting on the bill just like makes Jeff look a little hypocritical. Full disclosure, class, the ban will only take effect if ByteDance, the Chinese company who owns TikTok, does not sell it to another company.
And they are legally not allowed to. The Chinese government says you're not supposed to sell companies to foreign nations. So right now it looks like we might get a ban.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. People have whole livelihoods on this TikTok.
Yes, literally.
France.
Yeah.
TikTok.
No, I mean, thankfully, it's not the way I pay my bills. But like, you know, that's what I call Chipotle money.
Just, you know. Ooh, I will get the extra guac. And double chicken, please.
Always double chicken,
I had two viral TikToks this month. I will take an extra to go.
Yo, have you had that adobo chicken, though?
No.
Scrumptious.
Good to know.
Get Chipotle money together.
Scrumptious. So wait, so here's a little bit of his apology.
I apologize. I did not handle this situation well from top to bottom. And that is why I have been completely roasted on this app over the last 48 hours. And I get it. If I were in your shoes, I would probably feel the same way. I would see someone who used this app to build a following and then appears to have voted against it, and I would be upset. And I would feel like I deserved more of an explanation. So here goes. I like this app. I've been able to reach a lot of people and hear directly from them, and it's been great. I'm also in Congress, and I've been a part of some briefings about this app that were genuinely alarming. When I was reading the bill, the part I agreed with was the part that tries to force a sale, because I figured this would just be a better app if we didn't have to worry about the stuff that comes with it being potentially controlled by an adversarial government. The part I didn't like was the part that threatens a ban. Half the country is on this app. It has become a force for good in the lives of millions of people. So I weighed those two things, and the reason I voted for it was because I genuinely believe the chance of a ban is practically zero for a lot of reasons, financial, political, geopolitical. I just don't think there's any real chance of a ban. I still believe that, but maybe I got that balance wrong.
Hi, Fran. Why didn't you make a video before you fucking did it? If you didn't think nothing gonna happen, you're fine.
Then why didn't you say, here's how I'm voting. I don't think the likelihood, but then also it's like, then why did you vote for the ban if you don't think it's gonna get banned? Also,
and why did you post the apology on TikTok, sir?
I mean, that's egregious.
Now he's talking about, I know some stuff about the security of the app. Well, then why are you still here?
Yes, I think his apology should have said, listen, guys, I don't think it's going to get banned, but we just want it to be sold to an American company so we can control the private information that we are siphoning from you from the app. That's all.
Right. That part.
Because that's the truth. Because that's the truth.
Yeah.
They all do it. I mean, listen, I think he was going to get roasted either way. He was going to get roasted either way. So I think he nailed it. Thank you.
Here's the thing. I think the alternative would have been to not say anything and delete his app. Delete his account as if to say he really stands. Like, if you're going to do the vote, stand 10 toes down. All this back and forth, it appears I voted. No, sir, you did vote.
You did.
You did vote that way. And
stand on your business.
I don't think it's going to get banned. Well, then why did you vote for it?
Mm-hmm.
You voted. That doesn't make sense. I voted for something knowing in my mind that it's not going to happen. No. If you're going to vote. Don't give me all the back and forth. Really show me that you are solid in your beliefs. Mm-hmm. Delete your account and stay gone. That's the only way I would have believed it versus this wishy-washy thing.
And let us see the data. They keep being like, I was in these meetings and I saw the briefings and I know the security.
Us.
Well, then publish the shit. Let us see it so we know. You know?
Yeah, and here's the thing too, Nicole. I don't know if you actually seen the clip, but he's in his kitchen. I want to know, why is everybody in their kitchen? When you need me to know you're being serious, you're like, I too eat.
I do think it is. We all have a kitchen, or I don't want to say we all. Most of us have kitchens, so that is like a humbling thing, but it's a relatable thing.
Yeah,
it's so. I just can't imagine who sees it and they're like, I can trust him. He's in the kitchen.
Wait, was that a light reference to that Katie Western name?
She's in a kitchen too, but it's a popular thing. It's a popular thing. I think for legislators who make these videos, I think you're right, Nicole. It's an attempt to feel you don't want to see how nice my house is. We can't do this in the library.
Yeah, we can't go outside and look at my pool and whatnot. Remember when Ellen was like, I feel like I'm in a prison. And you're like, this is a nice prison. Like during COVID or whatever. And it was like, whoa.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, exactly. You need one little corner that you can shoot in. And I guess the kitchen is the place for it. Our last apology comes from my home state of Florida. Inspired by the racial reckoning of 2020, Tallahassee's First Presbyterian Church decided to dig into their history of how the congregation was founded, and spoiler, they found a bunch of racism. The church's archives showed that not only was the church built by enslaved people, but once it was up and running, Black people were not even allowed to go to the church that they had built. They also found that a number of former members owned slaves. So in an effort to take responsibility for the church's racist past, 20 of the members got together and they made an apology plaque. And the plaque now lives on the front of the church. The plaque says, "We regret that our church embraced racism from its founding in the mid-20th century. Past tense. Enslaved people owned by our earliest members helped build the sanctuary in which we now worship. And after the Civil War, until the 1950s, we turned away persons of color." Not Black people.
To the 1950s.
Persons of color. "But our holy scriptures remind us of God's love for all humankind, calling us to love one another. We confess we have fallen short. We seek forgiveness for ourselves, our church, and its ancestors. We commit ourselves to repairing racism's breach, that God's beloved community might take form in and around us. May God guide us on our way." Nicole, do you think an apology plaque is a good apology? And how would you fix this?
I don't think an apology plaque is a good thing. How much did this fucking cost? Like, maybe a plaque that was like built by the hands of slaves, you know, that I don't mind, you know, just acknowledging it, but like, put your money where your mouth is. Like, you're a church. Churches are supposed to help people. Start some sort of foundation where you collect money for underprivileged kids, or start a college fund for Black kids, or find out the lineage of these slaves who built your church and give money to those people. Give them reparation through your church, or like, help your community. Help Black people in your community. Like, me walking and reading and saying you're sorry is not going to make me feel better. But you being, you know, faithful people of God, helping out the community, mutual aid, that makes me feel better.
Right, right. Well, and like, the acknowledgement of it, I had the same thought. Like, the acknowledgement of it is important, but like, it doesn't do anything actionable to change the harm that was done. The White House did the same thing. They put the Smithsonian put a big old plaque outside the White House in 2021 to go, "Oh, y'all know slaves built this. No reparation."
Yeah.
Right? Well, find those descendants of those slaves who built that shit and give them some money.
Yeah, I mean, I
forgive the student loans.
I'm co-signing both of your fixes, because the plaque is really just about making themselves feel better.
Mm-hmm.
The plaque does nothing for anybody else.
Sure
the plaque
doesn't.
Don't pay no bills.
Nope.
The plaque don't open no doors for me. I love the idea of a college fund for the community. I think that's wonderful. I also want to know who's in leadership. Y'all got any Black people working in the church?
Yes.
Ooh, talk about it.
Like, you know, you got the plaque. Because whenever these conversations happen, I'm always like, y'all put up the plaque, but I bet you are a Black person's worst nightmare at your job. I know somebody hates when you come to, when you call out sick, there is a Black person at work that's
praise him.
And so you working on this plaque, like, what, like, show me the homework. You know what I mean? Like, this is a math test. You got to show your work. Let me see what you actually doing to make life better for Black people outside of a plaque. All right. Well, that wraps up our bad apologies. Nicole, we know you are a very busy lady, so we just want to say thank you so much for joining us.
You.
Please tell our listeners where they can find you on the interwebs.
Ooh, on the internet. Okay. If you want to watch my crowd working special, I'm really proud of it. It is on YouTube. You just have to type in the search bar, Nicole Byer crowd working special, because my YouTube page does say Whoopi Goldberg. It's a joke from a long time ago, and I'm simply not changing it. To make my life easier, won't do it. Ta-ha-ha, love it, tee-hee-hee. Also, I'm on Instagram, and I am on Twitter, X, at Nicole Byer. TikTok, I sometimes post stand-up stuff. That's Nicole Byer was taken because Nicole Byer was taken.
Wasn't that your website address for a minute?
Not was, is. And you better believe I built it myself and the font is in Comic Sans. And is it good? No, but the information's there. It's there, divas. Also, American Society of Magical Negroes is now in theaters. First time director, directed by Chelsea Peretti. I believe that's like a limited release. Or no, it's on Roku.
I cannot wait to see The Magical Negro. I cannot wait to see this movie.
I'm excited about it. I will say the reviews are in and people don't like it. But also, I just think it's one perspective. And I don't think Black people, when they make a movie, should have to speak for the whole culture. Mm. I think it can be the view of one person and you can see yourself a little bit in it. And I think it's a big, fun premise wrapped up in a rom-com. I like it. I think it's good.
Well, listen, I can't wait to see it. And honestly, I was going to say, I aspire to be at a place in my life where I have to take breaks when I'm giving you a rundown of where the fuck I've been working. Nicole said, let me wait a second. What else have I? Yeah, I'm also in another movie. And I think it's, let me embrace that into my life. I love that for you. You're so hardworking. You're so talented.
Thank you.
Just thank you for blessing our little podcast.
It's not little. Don't do that to yourself. This is a big, beautiful podcast.
Thank you. We are a body positive pod.
When you were going, I can't remember what the intro was to something. And I was like, where are we going with this? Yeah. I was like, where are we going with this? Ooh, is this an Ozempic commercial?
So that is the same exact tune for the Ozempic commercial.
It sure is.
This is a throwback to the OG, to the original. I don't know who sings that song, but the reference was made.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I could talk to y'all all day. This was delightful.
Oh my gosh. Incredible.
You're so sweet. Thank you for making time.
Toodaloo.
Oh, Nicole is the best. She's so funny.
Yo, and so down to earth, like hilarious, but also like so present.
Yeah.
And I really want her to be my friend as much as she's your friend.
Oh my gosh. Well, come to LA because Nicole lives like right down the street from me.
Oh, really?
When I walk past her big ass house with Flex, the house that Nailed It built. Yeah, she lives super close to me. We will, next time we go on a hike, I'll point out where she lives.
Cute. Claim that. I'm also claiming a big ass house for you right next to hers. Okay. Oh,
please. I'm ready.
Right. All right, class. Now it's time for everyone's favorite segment, The Glow Up, where we give props to those who've turned themselves around without our help. But first, as usual, we need to take a teensy little break. We'll be right back.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back. And we're back. Fran, would you like to go first?
Yes, my glow up this week goes to Miami Beach, where I lived for a few years. Y'all know I'm from South Florida.
It's a Florida day for you, isn't it?
It is a Florida day. Miami Beach, I don't know if you heard about this, DeLon, they have decided to break up with Spring Breakers. They put out a full campaign, said, do not come to Miami Beach for spring break.
Wait, I see. Remember that meme of Kamala Harris? Do not come.
Do not come. Do not come.
Do not come. That gift.
No.
Oh my God. So
oh my
funny.
God. So Miami Beach, spring break is a nightmare in Miami Beach. And I say this as someone that lived there for 6 years. The streets are crowded. People are pissing on the sidewalks. They're drunk everywhere. I mean, the music is loud. It's terrible. And so Miami said, we have had enough of it. They've instituted a midnight curfew. They have security checkpoints on different portions of the beach. They have road closures in order to cut down on traffic. They have banned short-term rentals. Anything under 6 months is now illegal. Whoa. They have
for like permanently.
They have. They're doing it. I think they're doing it permanently, but I think they're really cracking down for the month of March because this is usually when people are doing spring break. They also increased the towing fee to $516 for any non-resident. So if your car gets towed in Miami, you are in trouble. Also, no more smoking cigarettes on the beach. If you have if you have cigarettes on the, they are like, we know how y'all spring breakers act. No alcohol on the beach, no cigarettes, no large music, no tents, no coolers, no glass containers, no styrofoam, no plastic straws. Miami Beach said, stay your ass at home. And supposedly it seems to be working. They've had less arrests. They've had less gun violence, because that's the other thing. Spring break is a dangerous time in Miami Beach. And so shout out to them. I mean, I know it's going to be hard on the economy, but the reality is, as someone who was a resident in Miami Beach, it sucks living there during spring break. And it's the whole month of March.
Girl, I can't even imagine. It's like Times Square, not times 50 for just like the whole month, which is, and you know, right. If you live on Miami Beach, I cannot even imagine.
I
did see something about them arresting some spring breakers. So this must be part of that.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm actually, you know, I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, Fran, Miami probably proper is a little bit more liberal, I assume, than Florida as a whole. But for Florida to be doing something like this feels like, aren't you the land of freedom? Aren't you the land of no masks? So y'all are cracking down on people saying like, you can't do A, you can't be here, you can't breathe.
That's how you know it was really bad.
It must have been
because tourism is the biggest thing in South Florida, especially in Miami Beach. Like, that's how they make a huge chunk of their money. And so they put out a whole ad campaign. And I mean, they really are letting the people know, do not come down here. We do not want you. Stay home. And I'm honestly not mad. I wish they had done that while I lived there. It was a nightmare.
I do remember I have a bunch of friends who were having gatherings during 2020. I've talked about this to you probably on the pod too, where my friend Eric was like, DeLon, everyone is having their own pandemic. So you have yours stuck in your own house, but people are going to do what they're going to do. But I do remember I think it was 2020 or 2021. I think it was 2020. Miami Beach was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Packed, like super spreader events outside.
People were moving to Florida. They were moving to Florida because of the no mask mandates.
So crazy.
Yeah. And especially, and again, not to say that it was the right thing to do, but especially when it was really cold. And we were in New York, for example, and you couldn't leave your home. Like, people were going to South Florida because you could be outside. And in their minds, they were like, okay, this is safer. But, you know, we now know that that's not the case. But you're right. Florida has been the wild, wild west for a minute. And now they're locking it down. So shout out to them. I say that Miami Beach is having a glow up. The residents who live there, I'm sure, are very happy to have their city be a little more chill.
I mean, it's just more evidence for me that the hypocrisy is deep.
Yeah,
speaking of hypocrisy,
who's your glow up go to?
My glow up goes to J-Lo and her new music video movie. Why do I say hypocrisy? Because it's called This Is Me Now, as opposed to This Is Me Then, or whatever her other album
was. Yeah, it's supposed to be a nod to her debut album.
Which I say it's hypocritical because it's just her trying to stay relevant.
Yeah.
It's her trying to continue to do what she does, which I guess that's her brand or whatever. We're going to do a full episode on this coming up, class, so we won't go too far into it. But I just want to give it up to J-Lo because I liked it more than Fran did.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I made a video about, I'm waiting to post the video for when we do our episode, but I liked the documentary. I did.
Well, see, and I watched it in reverse. So right. I watched the documentary like you told me to, and then I watched the thing, the actual movie, music, whatever thing it is. And I really enjoyed it because I saw all the work that went into it. And she created a lot of empathy, and, you know, I'm very empathetic and compassionate.
I couldn't believe, you know, I could not believe Delon texts him. He's like, I actually kind of liked it. I dropped the phone. I dropped to my knees.
But then she was also like, well, here's the fucking fucked up part. She was like, what part? Was it this part? And I was like, well, I guess not that part. She's like, well, what about this part? And I was like, I guess not that part either. God damn, like fucking Swiss cheese in my theory over
here. Oh, I had a list. I was like, what about this sure moment? Yeah, because to me, I was like, how could you say you like this? But you know what? This also tracks for you because, again, you have the biggest heart. You and Shamika are the two friends in my life that mend my cold, dead heart. I'm always like, fuck that bitch. And you're always like, oh, I don't know. I can see where they're coming from. And I'm always like, I hate them.
I know. And then sometimes I'll get in you and you'll go, oh, okay. You'll come around.
I know. I never want to give anyone credit, but you always do. And I love that about you. So, okay, fine, J-Lo.
Well, I mean, I just also hope that, like, in 10 years when I'm her age, I'm still out here kicking, trying to do it, right?
No, because, I'm not. Like, now, listen, talk about a stay up. One thing J-Lo's going to do is serve looks. She looks fucking beautiful in that movie.
I mean, I'll say it. She sold her soul to whomever, the devil, God, I don't know.
She did.
So, friends, that is our episode. But as usual, we want to hear from you. What magician do you think is the greatest magician of all time? Is it Nicole Byer, Francesca Ramsey, Delon Grant?
Or who's your favorite magical Negro?
Who's your favorite magical Negro? Of the list, who was yours? I mean, I really do give it to Michael Clark Duncan.
Ooh, you know, honestly, I think Lawrence Fishburne in The Matrix. I think he has the best.
I cannot believe that.
He's a magical Negro.
That's so upsetting for me. That is so upsetting for me. I don't know why, but it's, I get it, but it's just like mind-breaking.
Red
right?
pill, blue pill. Listen, he's got a great outfit on. He's got the sunglasses. He's got a leather trench coat. You know, he just, and he's doing karate and he's moving in slow motion and stuff. Like, if you're going to be a magical Negro, like actually having magical powers is kind of bomb.
It's so true. Or class, maybe you'd like to suggest a TV show, a celeb, a brand we should fix in the future. Hit us up on Instagram at fixitpod or email us at letmefixitpod@gmail.com.
Also, don't forget, we have a YouTube channel, and I will apologize, class. I am behind on uploading videos.
Talk about 5011 jobs.
You know, I have so many jobs. But we do have past episodes up on there, so please visit it at youtube.com/@fixitpod. And if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to give us a rating on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app. I'm Francesca.
And I'm Delon. And this was
Let Me Fix It.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.